Saturday morning, everybody. Good morning. March 30th, 2024, 710 KNUS. Tomorrow is Easter, Denver's talk station. 303-696-1971 is the phone number. Good morning to you. 65 today, 63 tomorrow, and 45 on Monday. Double haters. Maybe after this morning, become a triple hater. This is something I've read about, and I thought I'd bring it to the radio show, and it's really fired everyone up in terms of people. It's pretty, some very smart calls, as always, on Saturday. The idea of a double hater, and some of the people I read suggest they may be the deciding part of the 2024 election. And it's going to be a tight election. I think anyone can agree to that. So the I don't know if there's any good news, but many voters don't like Joe Biden, and many voters don't like former President Donald Trump either. And they might be the important group, the 24 election. They call them the double haters, and voters who are dissatisfied with both. And from some polling data, they make up about a fifth of the electorate. Do you find yourself there? 303-696-1971. Also, as I came in and we were crossing over with Johnny C. with Caldera, we were talking about the United States and also what's taking place in Ukraine. And I'm very much opposed to us getting involved in this. United States of America has a habit in meddling, if you would, in the world. And the results rarely have been pretty. And thousands of young Americans have been killed and tens of thousands have been wounded. Hundreds of thousands of foreigners have died in the multitude of this multinational corporation mix with the industrial complex, and it goes nowhere. 710 KNUS, thanks for being here. Getting a lot of stuff on the wall. We'll read. Let's go to Evan. You waited. Thank you very much. You're on the radio show. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. And as usual, an excellent show. And you've had some really excellent people calling. I can't say that I have that much else to contribute, but I can't explain where I am and was curious what you might think. And basically, it boils down to this. I'm not a double hater. I still support Mr. Trump only because I know what he did when he was in. And I can only come up with other sort of factual data that I play with. I'd rather pay about $2.50 for gas as opposed to $5. But the overwhelming question for me is, if Biden is reelected, what do we do then?
Agreed. I agree. that's the answer is I agree. That's this principle of a double hater. Is the Donald Trump that I witnessed for a while, and I voted for him twice. I can't find myself voting for him a third time. Yet, Joe Biden, there's just no way. I mean, it's an impossibility to conceive of going and either pulling the lever or mailing in a ballot that you're, you know, with you check that box. So,
amen.
Yeah.
So, amen.
Yeah. I've read too much. I've listened to too much. And I don't know if the United States has ever been at this point before. And I, you know, I'm kind of a little reader, but where you just find, and we talked about this, voter behavior, and you know, tons of historians and political theorists write about it. By and large, people vote against someone. Although there, you know, there are people that vote for people, but they're again realizing that people vote against someone, and most people voted that did not. Well, how do I say this again? People that voted for Trump the first time so disliked Hillary that they voted for Trump. Then, you know, turnabout was fair play. People that couldn't stomach Trump then turned around and voted for Joe Biden. Now there's people who can't stomach Trump or Biden, and they picked up this jacket, double haters. This election, they're very likely to decide the presidential contest and come around November to support one or two of these major party nominees, even if it means, as I kind of sense from you, holding your nose.
It's a super quandary.
Yeah.
I'm not a super person to come up with historic analogies. The only two that come to mind, and I don't know much about French history, but Biden is not really the president.
He's the Dauphine. I like that. He's the pretender. Yeah,
and he also, unfortunately, I hate to use this reference, but I think you'll understand, he's kind of like burning down the Reichstag and blaming somebody else.
Sure. Oh, listen, that's well said. Well said.
It scares me.
So what it's frightening, especially a moment like this, a real crossroads moment. There are these theories that history takes timeouts, that after some huge events, that history just goes to the sidelines. Maybe the time period after the American Civil War, where, you know, although a lot was taking place and, you know, we read about, you know, huge events, but history kind of calms itself down. After the First World War, much the same. Now, in this theory called the quickening, there's not a calm period, and maybe we're into that right now, but what do you do? Yes.
That's a good point. I've always wanted to read history of the English-speaking peoples, but there never seems to be time.
Winston Churchill, yeah.
Yes. Perhaps, unfortunately, we need to adopt a monarchical slant parliamentary system. Well, who knows? I'm only rattling on because I am so scared. Yeah. It feels I used to go to the National Monument, get out of this environment, mm-hmm. and look at the mountains and the birds and the animals. And now it feels like I'm looking over a very steep cliff somewhere up on Grand Mesa.
You're not alone. Know that you're not alone. I thank you for a good call. Be safe. Thanks. 303-696-1971. Okay. We go to Ralph. Ralph, you waited Saturday morning. Good morning, and thank you.
Hello, Peter.
Hey, man.
First of all, I want to say that I do definitely believe that Donald Trump is telling the truth when he says that he has dozens of Bibles at his home in Mar-a-Lago. They're all Gideons.
They took them. Ooh, ouch. Continue if you would, please. Ouch, yes.
Secondly, let me give you some professional advice from a professional double hater. I haven't voted for a president that I wanted since Ross Perot. So I have a lot of experience on this. And what you do is you don't throw away your vote. I tried that with Ralph Nader. Didn't work. Okay, so what you do is you know who the two candidates are. Don't throw away your vote. Do it as a double hater and write down a double list, sort of like double book accounting, on the good points and the bad points, and then vote for the one you hate the least.
Yeah, I mean, that's and some of the, and I've read, big deal, most of the week about double haters, and they often make up their minds in the end of October. I'm serious that whatever an event would take place for one or the other, then now that triggers your vote, and so they. I read you from one of the studies. They're very likely to decide the presidential contest, with most coming around by November to support one or two of the major party nominees, even if it means holding their noses. For millions. And again, all you know I wanted to bring up, and I keep forgetting, is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. What do you do with him?
You forget him.
But if he's considered, is he an electable alternative? You're right. The answer is no. But there are a percentage of people that are going to vote for him. He's going to be on the ballot here in Colorado.
But, Peter, remember, I said that I voted for Ralph Nader. That was 2000.
I understand.
I learned my lesson. I threw away my vote. Yep. So anyone who votes for Robert Kennedy just doesn't have the intelligence or the courage to make up their mind which one they hate the worst.
But, well, who does RFK Jr. hurt, Biden or Trump?
Probably Biden.
I agree.
The thing is, remember, Peter, that you are talking about a event that is November 6th. That's what, 7 months from now?
Yes.
So you have 7 months in which to watch Biden and Trump,
yes,
and Kennedy and whoever else is out there, and see, how shall I say, how good their positions are or how bad their positions are. And I'm not talking what they say in terms of their BS. That's all political.
No, I agree.
I'm talking about what they do or what it looks very probable that they will do. I mean, do you believe that Donald Trump is going to be a dictator for only one day? I don't know. Let's see how he acts between now and November 5th.
Well, I mean, I think at this point, and again, your point's well taken, November's a long way off. But my intolerance, I guess, or my tolerance levels have they've really disappeared. I watched the other night and I saw that all sitting in the armchairs and Joe Biden and Bill Clinton and and Barack Obama sitting there, and they ran Trump down for an hour and raised a bunch of money. You know, I'm just not impressed. Trump sells Bibles and sneakers and perfume. I'm not impressed. I just watch this stuff and I think, at this critical moment, this crossroads for our country, this is the best we can do. And
unfortunately, if you read Ben Franklin's speech,
yes,
when he signed the Constitution,
a republic.
Yes, if you can keep
it. If you can keep it.
And his point, and John Adams' point, and a bunch of other points, Adams and the Federalist, was that all republics eventually turn into tyranny.
Sure they do.
And the only question is whether or not the American people still have the public spirit to keep us a republic.
Well, that's why.
I don't know.
And I believe you and I have spoken about this before, but empires fail. Every empire fails.
Exactly.
And we are a nation that climbed to empire. And we're failing. If you read Gibbon, we're failing in the same manner, in the same way, and almost for the same reasons. And somebody needs to put the brakes on. That was one of the things. Go ahead.
Quick read for you if you haven't read it. I just reread parts of it. It's Paul Kennedy's "The Rise and Fall of the Great Powers."
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're right on track, baby.
Absolutely. And
anyway.
And why going abroad looking for trouble in this in the United States and Russia? It's Biden is beyond me in doing what he's doing. And
may I make another suggestion for Reed, and that is War is a Racket.
Oh yeah, that Marine, yeah.
Smedley Butler.
Yeah,
I spent 33 years. He is a double Congressional
CMH guy.
Honor,
yeah, really. I know the book and I know him. Yeah, I know he's a CMH guy.
Well, let's just finish with one of his quotes, and this will take care of your problems. I spent 33 years in the Marines, most of my time being a high-class muscle man for big business, for Wall Street, and for the bankers.
Oh, sure.
In short, I was a racketeer and goon for capitalism. Is my word.
Well, they were in Central America, and that's where Chesty Puller and those guys and they went down there and they did it for United Fruit.
Exactly.
Destroyed people's lives for Sam the Banana Man. And
bingo.
And that's where a lot of the Southern planters that were slave owners go into Central America and have the banana plantations. And they would force the Guatemalans to take their hats off and stand off to the side as the white planters walked by, and they were going to, there really was a Sandino. They were going to in Nicaragua, and they were going to overthrow that government. And the Marines ended up going in there. What are they saving it for? It's the first time they're saving a country for the multinational, and
we've got over a century of that history now, man.
Please, absolutely. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Have a good vacation.
You too. Yeah, man. All right, Calitrin, you listen to other guys that talk about this, and the product is great, safe and natural, and it has great side benefits. You have better sleep and more energy and less joint pain and glowing skin. And Calotren, C-A-L-O-T-R-E-N, and it doesn't interfere with any of your regular meds, 100% safe, stimulant-free. Listen, the morning guys are all on it. I think Billy's taking it, and I think Jeff's taking it. 86% success rate with weight loss. Easy once-a-day dose at bedtime, pills or liquid form. Simple. It's convenient. They have a medical staff and all kinds of clients saying how great it is. 100% safe, even if you're on meds, because there's no drugs or stimulants. It makes Calotren so different. So phone order. Take a listen to the other guys. 833-TOP-LOSS. 833-T-O-P-L-O-S-S. Or log on to toploss.com. But Calotren. And here it is for the guys, 833-T-O-P-L-O-S-S, or log on to toploss.com. Lou, you want a break? He says, here we are. You want to take a break? All right, we come back. We have two lines open, 303-696-1971. My boys, good morning. It's a Saturday, 710 Kane, U.S. Denver's Talk Station. Try and read that in 65 together. 65 will be the high tomorrow, 63. It is Easter, 303-696-1971. We have two lines open, one line open. The double haters, are you one? We finished that phone call up with that last caller about United States foreign policy, and they were called banana republics. Nicaragua, Guatemala. The United States remained involved in their politics, overthrowing governments and keeping stable governments that were pro the U.S. But early on, and it's interesting, there's this theory of history that's called manifest destiny. And if you've ever read that, and they make the case that, and again, I'm working out of a long memory, so I apologize. But after Arizona becomes the last state, contiguous right state, because Alaska and Hawaii come in later, but Arizona, and almost immediately after Arizona, the overthrow of the queen in Hawaii, was her Kamehameha, but don't hold me to that, but they overthrow her, and there's the planters from the end of the American Civil War in the South have gone into Nicaragua, into Guatemala, other places, and become, you know, they were corporate farms, and there was a real Sandino, and that's where the Sandinistas get their name. Anyhow, they did not want these colonialists in their country, so there was an attempt to overthrow, and that's when the United States, the Marine Corps, principally goes into Central America. And one of the people that I just always thought the most of and loved was Chesty Puller, and Puller went. And they were mentioning Smedley Butler, and those guys went to Central America. They went to the Philippines. All right, ski season is coming to an end, but it's a great time. We're in Larson. Larson's twice, picking up a pair and dropping a pair off. You know what it means? It's time to visit Larson Ski and Sport. John Marriott and all, get all the new gear for the season. And again, coming to an end, they can, you can pick and choose, man, what looks good for next year. Take it from me, if you, and I've represented John for, I don't know, over 20 years. If you need any ski or snowboard gear, please, it's Larson Ski and Sport. Skied on Wednesday. Snow in Winter Park was incredible. Take it from me. When you need ski or snowboard gear, and at the end of the year, it's a great time to shop. And again, if you're going to go up, the days are, you know, a lot warmer and lighter, and you want to do a run, a couple of runs, if you're a renter and snowboarder, just come and see them. The guys at Larson's will take time. They really will, Paul and the other guys, to get to know you and your family and match you up with all the right brands so you can enjoy your time on the hill. These are good guys. Larson's is so convenient. Stop on your way up the hill or stop on your way home. Big wooden building south of I-70 on Kipling. So you go westbound on I-70. You're heading to the mountains. Get off on the Kipling exit. Come down the ramp. Make a left. Come underneath I-70. Come out on the other side. Two buildings down on your right side, on your west side. Big wooden box building. It's Larson Ski and Sport. John Marriott, his son Jack, the guys at Larson's, absolute experts at everything you need for winter sports. Stop in today and tell them I sent you. Larson Ski and Sports, south of I-70 on Kipling. 7 days a week. The web is larsonsport.com, 303-423-0654. It's 303-423-0654. It is amazing the amount of equipment, what's there. They're great people and a great store, and they've been there forever. Thank you. Larson Ski and Sport, larsonsport.com. All right, we start with, let me see. It's Don. Don on line one. Don, you're on a radio show. Good morning. Thank you.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Thank you. I was calling because I just had a question because I'm thinking, you know, a lot of people think this and hear this, that like when the Democratic National Convention comes along, Joe Biden will not be the candidate. You know, he won't be after that. He won't be the nominee, the candidate. It might be Michelle Obama or I don't think Gavin Newsom, but Michelle Obama. What do you think? Because I'm interested to think what you think about that. If that changes, is it still a double hater? Or because I don't think the party changes.
That's smart. You know what I mean? That's a clever question. Lyndon Johnson in March 31st, 1968, and tomorrow this is, you know, we're 30th of March, went on national television and said he was not going to seek reelection. And I really believed that he was going to pull that, you know, he was going to do an LBJ. And so far he hasn't, which is, I thought, well, and I heard all the rumors that it was going to be Michelle Obama, just like you did. I heard Gavin Newsom as well, but he was too much of a commie that they couldn't sell him. I've heard the same things. And I said earlier in the show, and I think I said it three or four times, the Democratic Party in this country is almost it's almost Trotskyist. It's almost like an SWP out of Germany, and they're scary. I mean, the Socialist Workers Party is a Trotskyist organization. So, your point's well taken. No, I mean, I think you change the lead dog, but the rest of the dogs are still pulling.
So I know. So a number of your callers, they support Trump, and a number don't. But that's what I was wondering. What they may think too. I do support Trump. I think he did some good things, and I don't like what Joe Biden's done. Obviously, since I support Trump, but the way things are going right now in the country. So that's what I was wondering, because I, really respect you and like to hear what
you're
you
kind.
Think about things and what you think about that when that happens. If it may not, but if it does, I think it's likely it will.
I really expected it. I expected that calmer heads, or at least people that. And then I watched that. I don't know if you saw them on the stage sitting in the big armchairs. And there's Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, and Joe Biden. Did you happen to see any of that fundraiser this week?
I only saw it on the news after.
Yeah, well,
I didn't. Yeah,
yeah, and it was like looking at these three guys. And the question has come up oftentimes: who's whispering in Joe Biden's ear? Mm-hmm. And I'm an old man myself, and I know that you're trying to hold the line. But when you watch Joe, there's the light's out, and that's pretty scary. We've been through it once before. We've talked about when Woodrow Wilson had a stroke, and there were two people running this country. Neither one of them were Woodrow Wilson. It was his wife. Her name was Edith, and Colonel House. And they, to a high degree of probability, they ran this country with a Woodrow Wilson who was sick in the other room. I don't know. I mean, I really don't. It's a very legitimate question. But I don't think the party would change an iota.
Okay, yeah.
They're too entrenched.
Yep, that's kind of what I think, too. So, yeah. That was my question, and
good,
I really
good
appreciate
call.
Your input.
Thanks, Don. It was a very good call. Thanks, Don.
Thank you.
Right. You're welcome.
Bye.
All right. We go to Sandy. Sandy, you're on a radio show Saturday. Good morning, and thank you.
Good morning, Peter. Great show.
Wow.
And hey, this election, I'll tell you what, I think I just tuned in about a half hour ago, but RFK Jr., he is getting momentum.
Yes.
And I think we need to keep the eye on the ball, just just where this is going. Also, your portrayal of history and whatnot is outstanding. I so enjoy your facts of what's happened before, so we need to pay attention. But there is a great, I call them docudramas, called The Good Shepherd with
Matt sure. Damon. Oh, I've watched it twice.
The development.
Oh yeah.
The development of the CIA.
Oh yeah.
People need to watch that. This is what's going on.
Well, this thing on Netflix called The Octopus, and it's very, very good. And my daughter came across it first, and I've watched it, and and actually a friend of mine shows up in the documentary, which I thought was interesting, and it's precisely that. It's the conspiracy theory of history, and they make valid points. And that's the frightening part, is they make valid points. Coming back to RFK, have you read much about his running mate, the woman lawyer?
Oh yeah, the Google.
Yeah,
the Google.
The
Google lady. Oh,
yes.
Yeah. She's quite dynamic.
Well, she's surprised. I mean, he surprised everybody by bringing out. You know, they haven't had a convention or anything like that. Her name is Shanahan, and she's his running mate, and she. And apparently from reading other people that he's not interested in trying to play the electoral game. Mm-hmm. You know, Donald Trump selected Mike Pence, and, you know, they find somebody to try and balance things out. Lyndon Johnson chose Hubert Humphrey. But Kennedy's running mate, I don't know. I mean, I've read about her, and
She's a powerhouse.
Oh, absolutely. She's a lawyer. She gave him a bunch of money. She gave him like $4 million or something to run on.
Mm-hmm. Get your popcorn, right?
Oh, well, how do you think? All right, dope it out. If we were that first Wednesday in November, well, we might not even know then, but who do you think pulls this thing out?
I think, okay, this is why the Robert K. Jr. is important, because if no one reaches the electoral votes, let's say that the margins between mm-hmm. Trump and whoever, Biden, whomever, and RFK Jr., the U.S. Congress, House,
they vote
with one vote. Whoever's in charge gets to select
yep.
the president. One
oh, yeah.
vote.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
It's a huge deal. And the speaker oftentimes a deciding vote, right?
Correct.
Now, believe me. I try and write this stuff and think it through, and I'm stuck. I can't pull it off. I can't predict. I mean,
me neither, and
even then, with assuming the double haters are there, and I believe they are, it's still going to get down to, I think, some very tight, like it did last time.
Indeed. It's going to be a nail biter for sure, and all bets are off.
And again, remember, November is it's a lifetime away.
Yeah.
A lifetime away. A lot can happen between now and then.
Indeed, and oh my gosh, it's going to be something to watch from here on in.
Guarantee it. it's like. These people, you know, what's a great line? Thank God for these people. They give you a radio show.
It is in full display. And also, it's pure entertainment. I go, why watch a movie when you can listen to AM radio?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I miss doing this every day. Thank you for your time. Be safe. Thank you, ma'am. All right, we go to Jim. Jim, you're on a radio show. Saturday morning, March the 30th. Good morning.
Good morning, Peter.
Hi,
good
sir.
Show.
Thank you.
I'm just going to say, you know, from the point of view of, I agree, but my feelings is right now is a protest vote, if I'm allowed to, in Colorado, because, you know, Trump doesn't have a chance. I might vote for RFK if he was on the ballot.
Yeah, no.
Here in Colorado, the protest vote.
Yeah, that's smart. yeah, Trump has no shot in Colorado.
Right. So I might I don't know. Is he going to be on the ballot?
Oh yeah,
in Colorado
yeah.
Or not?
The court decided he'll be there. Yes.
No, I'm saying RFK.
Yes, I believe he is.
I wasn't certain on that one. I know that he's on selective states. That
no, I think he's here.
He's swing states. But if he is,
blue check.
Know, because
let me
it's not going to vote.
No, let me
vote for him here in Colorado.
Let me ask him. Hey, Lou, real quick, Lou. Yeah, I think he's on the ballot. Lou, would you check Lou Gonzalez? See if he'll. I'm with you. I mean, is you know, because you're going to sit in there, or you're going to be at home, whatever
right,
it is.
Right. Right.
And.
And I think in Colorado, it would be because, you know, Trump doesn't have a chance here to do a protest vote just the way I just can't stand it, the way it's going. I like DeSantis, to tell you the truth. I really thought. And have you seen what he's done? This guy moves real quick. The whole thing on the squatters. It's the first state now to say that's not going to stand. And they got a legislation in Florida now that these squatters are not able to pull the crap they're pulling on. They can do it in Colorado. You know that.
But Polis has no intent. Polis wants to be – everybody moves up one. And Polis would like to be president or considered. And I think, if, you know, like remember, he's term limited too. This mayor – every. I mean, if you thought you – if you thought Michael Hancock was bad, Michael Hancock's a gift compared to the guy that's running the city now. But he has his eyes on
I didn't realize that, how bad this guy is. I mean, I couldn't believe it.
Is he on, Lou, yes or no? He's not on. There he's not on yet.
See,
he needs
there you go, man.
He needs 12,000 signatures to get on. So he's.
I would sign. If they got that at the stores there of signing to get him on, I would definitely sign. And I'm an affiliate. I became an affiliate.
Smart move.
You know, I gotta tell you right away. You know, I don't know if you've read this. I read the most recent statistics on the number of illegals now in the United States. We have hit a number of 51 million.
Oh, yeah.
51 million.
Yes.
51 million. These people have no alliance to America. These people, I mean, this number is astronomical. This is that we're reaching a point of where we have. I mean, this is on the
again.
Went on in Rome.
Well, there. I was going to bring that up when you read how empires fail.
Yes.
And especially if you read Gibbon. And they talk about the Roman Empire and what happens to it. But it's true to the British as well. The British after the Second World War. The French after the Second World War. All empires fail. It's one of those axioms of history. They prove out there is no... The Soviet Empire fails. By the time it gets to Gorbachev, you know, and Yeltsin, it's done.
Yes.
It's an empire.
Yes.
And what was one of the deciding factors in the demise of the Soviets was Afghanistan. George Bush didn't. I mean, George Bush.
No, there was. No, Peter. There's two things. Chernobyl and Afghanistan.
Well, Chernobyl.
And each one was astronomical.
Yeah. Chernobyl. No, but actually, it was it imploded the Russian people or the Soviet people. In the Soviet states, they wanted to determine their own destiny. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, they wanted what we had. And they could see.
True.
They could see for the first time. It's really interesting. In Cold War, and people talk about under Joseph Stalin, what was the, I say, instrument that Joseph Stalin wanted most to ban? And when you listen to people, it was guns. No, it wasn't guns. What did Joseph Stalin, the two things Joseph Stalin wanted to control? And it's interesting. One was the radios, and the other one was copying machines or printers that you could if you read Solzhenitsyn when they would make copies of things. To pass around that weren't controlled by the Supreme Soviet and Joseph Stalin, and radios that people I used to work with a guy that worked at Radio Free Europe, and so this kind of stuff it's so inclusive.
Well, my wife grew up in the Soviet Union. You know what she told me, and I thought, man, that's so on the point. She said, you know. I tell you what, Biden, she says, reminds me of Brezhnev. I'm like, really? She goes, yeah, because at a certain point we realized that was an empty suit. And that's where they're at right now. The Soviet Union, they recognized Brezhnev was just, he wasn't there. He was gone. She says, Biden is like Brezhnev. His latter stages of where he was just a suit there. Man, that is so on point of what's going on with Biden right now, because, you know, that guy is an empty suit, and he's, I mean, it's the same thing of guys that were like running the show
Brezhnev,
in the Soviet Union.
Brezhnev, of course, Afghanistan, but then Biden, I again, scratch your head. There's no state dinners. There's no. There's no press conferences.
But did you see what's going on? We have the people that are running the Democrat Party are having that $1 million dinner. And what does Trump do? He goes with the family that have the police.
I know, but Trump will Trump will have his fundraisers too. Believe me.
Well, I understand, but can you imagine what a big difference between the two parties?
Yeah, but
Trump
was smart enough
to recognize that.
It was numbers. I mean, I think
Peter, you cannot go. You can see now the shift of the Republican Party is a working man's party. Versus the millionaire and billionaires that are now of the Democratic Party, it's just striking what a difference.
We'll see. I mean, like I said, we'll see.
A bunch of people are out of this party now. They are hated as much.
No, there are these people. The radical chic. Tom Wolfe had it down best. I'm a huge Tom Wolfe fan, and Tom Wolfe writes this wonderful book. He writes it years ago. The Radical Chic and Mao Maoing the Flag Catchers is the name of the book. And what he does is he steals an invitation to a party that was given by Leonard Bernstein and all these really wealthy, elite, powerful people that lived in New York. And he invites the Black Panther Party to come to this dinner. And it's been a long time since I read it, but what Wolf finds out is that Leonard Bernstein and his then wife, they have black help. They have, you know, their quote servants are black. So for that night, they get rid of them and they bring in Puerto Ricans, and the black guys come, and they wear the berets and the dark glasses and the leather jackets, and they just lean on the wall, and it's called Mau Mauing, And all these wealthy, wealthy, wealthy characters wrote checks to the Black Panther Party. And there's a lot of that radical chic, moral high ground. It's here in Colorado that these are wealthy characters in the Democratic Party, and that empowers them. The shift in the Republican Party really took place Richard Nixon. When Nixon called it the Southern Strategy, and he went south and he won. If you remember the Kennedys were warned, don't do this. Don't head south and defend Dr. King, because it's going to stop you.
Well, I don't think you've read of the demographics now of the Republican Party. Mm. It's roughly over 30% of black males will be voting.
Well, let's see.
This time around.
I said, let's see.
And also Hispanic. I know. I have friends. Yeah. I have friends that are in the labor department, and they're like, I can't vote for this party anymore because they're basically taking food out of my table.
As the man said,
the illegals that they have allowed through. Yeah,
I can't argue against it, but we'll have to see where Democrat. Listen, real quick, take the last comment. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm just going to say the Democratic. Listen, we have the cartels in they have been trying to have them as basically a terrorist organization. The Democratic Party won't even allow that to happen.
All right. I got to pull the pen.
They are all.
Thanks, Jim. All right, lines are open, 710 KNUS. Play it for Katie. One of the great songs of loneliness. Turn it up a little bit. George Strait, Amarillo by Morning. Wow. Love it. I met the guy that wrote this song. He'd never been to the rodeo. And he didn't know about 8 seconds to ride. And it's high in that. And it looks at the county fair. Amarillo by morning. Turn it up, please. Amarillo by morning. He's looking for an eight. 8 seconds. He'll say it. And looking for an eight when they pull the gate. And a lot of people don't follow what that is. That's 8 seconds on the bull or on the horse. I'm sorry. We killed it. All right. Have to pay. But anyway, he goes, I'm looking for an eight when they pull the gate and hoping the judge ain't blind. Amarillo by morning. Amarillo's on my mind. Guys, look, we hear talk about medicine and effective treatments for erectile dysfunction and other men's sexual health issues. And talk about love, man. The one you love, the light of your life. And you're the most, and if you're like, guys, you hit a point and you do whatever you can to nurture your relationship and you're suffering with ED, impacts the condition you're likely to have it on yourself and on your partner. Ta-da, me, Rocky Mountain Men's Clinic, they're guys. And they served the Front Range of Colorado for nearly a decade, successfully treated tens of thousands of guys. And a consultation at Rocky Mountain Men's Clinic, initial visit, $99, includes a medical consultation, licensed medical providers. I know these guys. A T and a PSA test, medically advised test dose. I've been through it. It works. It does. The test dose doesn't work. They give it. It's a free one. Five locations in Colorado: Fort Collins, North Denver, Central Denver, Castle Rock, Colorado Springs. Stop dealing with lack of confidence that ED brings. Call them today, 720-440-7900, 720-440-7900. Visit RockyMountainMen'sClinic.com and tell them Peter Boyle sent you. All right, we go to the phones. Let's go to Ted in Aurora. Ted, thank you. You're on a radio show Saturday. Good morning.
Peter, listen, thanks for the program this morning.
Thank you.
And I, like you, am in the middle. Actually, I had turned down Donald Trump for a loan, a mortgage, years ago, 20, 25 years ago, after he went bankrupt. But, you know, it was that was easy to do because, you know, everybody was under a lot of close supervision at the time. But, I was watching Channel 6 last night. The Atlantic has that Washington Week in Review, I guess. And one of the guys spoke and really was very articulate because a lot of these people are the Eastern establishment, Ivy League, Washington Post types, and said, you know, that you've got a whole class of people in this country that are really alienated. And you know, Trump has picked up on that. But let me throw something out to you. You know, when you see that recruiting for the armed services is way down, you know, one of the most powerful messages that I ever have seen, and it occurred to me, I'm 82, 83, so I'm a little slow, but if you ever watch the Tunnels for Towers advertisements and you see all the great work these guys do for GIs, you know, and if you're an 18-year-old kid and you look at that, you know, that maybe is making a career decision for you.
Here I am again. There's a wonderful book called The Nightingale Song, and it's about Reagan. And as the theory goes, no nightingale sings until it hears another nightingale sing. And Ronald Reagan is the nightingale. And guys like Schwarzkopf and Powell and these guys who had held the line after Southeast Asia through the Carter administration, the military is in total disarray. And along comes Reagan. And so then that military that Reagan builds is used by Herbert Walker Bush for the first Gulf War. Then it falls into the hands of his son. And they, how many tours they gave these guys, and then both of those wars were lies, predicated on lies, and Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld and Wolfowitz, you go down the list, and they told lies, and they got a lot of kids got killed, a lot of kids, I mean guys that I now know that have been PTSD'd and hurt. And so the word goes out and stay away. After the American Civil War, the issue was much the same. So the military, from my reading and understanding and listening, that we've been through this before. And plus there's this notion among young people that there is, and I think the word's overused, the patriots. Everybody's a patriot. It's like everybody's a comrade, or everyone's a, you know, come on, quit it. But that they've lost the sense of identity of the country and the love of country, and the need to be part of it has been knocked out pretty badly too. So I think, you know, the book The Nightingale Song really is a wonderful, wonderful book, and it makes you love Reagan even more, that he brought the military back that was so destroyed by Lyndon Johnson and Richard Nixon. And
I'll look that up. Incidentally, I've got to run and do an errand real quick, but I sent you a text speaking of heroes and soldiers.
I saw it. We have a mutual friend. Yes, we do. And I talked to him this week as well. We both talked to him.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. He was here.
I always have to run a gauntlet.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you do, too.
No. He was here.
With a conversation open.
Yeah, no. He's the man. Thank you, Ted.
He's helpful in pointing out some of my personality deficiencies and how I can improve myself.
Now, both of us.
Always nice to have a guardian angel, yeah.
We both. Thanks. It's a Saturday morning, 303-696-1971. The book is The Nightingale Song, and it is just a powerful, powerful book. And it focuses on Reagan, and the military has been destroyed by Lyndon Johnson and Nixon, Jimmy Carter, all things aside. And along comes the double R, and he is the Nightingale. And as the theory is, no nightingale sings until it hears another nightingale sing. And they follow a dozen of these guys. They're colonels and light colonels and brigadier generals. And most of the others have gotten out and walked away and said, that's enough. We can't handle what's happened to the military. But this crux of this is this handful of these men who stay, and then they hear the nightingale. And that's the military that goes to the Kuwait War that Herbert Walker Bush sends them. But that military really gets destroyed by Dick Cheney and George Bush. I always put Dick Cheney first because he's the shot caller. It's not W. We got another hour straight ahead. Tomorrow's Easter. The double haters. Are you one? I find myself there. It's been an interesting morning. The email has always been special. And these are people and I find myself the same way, that if Joe Biden wants to squeeze out a political win, he's going to need to secure the votes of some people who don't like him very much. The good news is many of those voters don't like Donald Trump as well. And they're called double haters. We have an hour ahead, 303-696-1971. Do you find yourself that a double hater, voters who are unsatisfied with both Trump and Biden, and they make up about a fifth of the electorate? And then we were talking about that bringing into this RFK Jr. What role does he play? He's not on the ballot. I thought he was. Are we pretty close? Yes, we can do it. Come back on the other side, Saturday morning, March 30th, 2024. I'm Peter Boyles. This is Radio Free Denver, good old 710 KNUS.